Good morning. Today is Monday, August 23rd, 2021. When this series on God's Word concerning Holy Spirit began, there was really no agenda other than our prayers to present truth in the most logical manner possible. And it was certainly our desire for the knowledge of what God's Word says about Himself, about His Son, Jesus Christ, and about the gift of Holy Spirit, that it would thrill your soul. And perhaps the ultimate, greatest desire for the teaching this year is for them to build one upon another. To the end, they lead even one person's relationship with the Father of lights and the Father of glory to be more tender, more affectionate, and personal and real in our everyday lives. Larry enjoys using the term "for your consideration." I like that also, because if you listen to the teachings, any teaching, without considering the promising vistas that those teachings offer, that are within the Word of God, and they await us in a relationship with Him, you will most likely be disappointed in your expectation, because it does take meditation of the Scriptures. It takes thinking and rethinking and looking at other verses and working the Word together. To see the heart of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, this is really a wonderful section. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Verse 17, "comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good work." So what Christ has done, what God has done, in loving us and giving Christ, giving of Himself, it is to bring comfort to our hearts. It is to establish us in every good word and work. They both love us, God and His Son. Consider what Jesus went through to pay the ransom for our life. Consider the love God showed us to give His only begotten Son. You know, doesn't that move your heart? You know, we have only because He has given everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That means we or no one will ever buy it with good works of the flesh. And there's to factor in Galatians 1, 3, and 4, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." And for God to gift us with a power package of dominance and authority with the promised eternal life. I mean, that's what we have. That's what He gave us. I don't know, but doesn't that just make you weak in the knees of your heart? Getting to that place in your heart will be a tad different for every individual, because that is one of the workings of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit was created in each one of us to suit the individual person that we are. It's tailor-made. It's tailor-made. You know, we all have had those aha moments where two truths just seem to click together out of nowhere and, you know, it's a lock. There are times when those moments change us the rest of our lives. And we'll see more about this aspect of Holy Spirit in a future teaching. when we begin to look at the distinct workings of Holy Spirit. In chapter 3 of Philippians is valuable insight for our lives. The first thing Paul addresses as he begins this epistle is that a person's righteousness, everyone, anyone, ours, yours, mine, our righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ, not by our fleshly works, verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So in this verse, Paul begins to provide a contrasting comparison. On the one hand, you have the Jews who remained, even though they got born again, even though they knew, they chose to remain under the Old Testament law about circumcision of the flesh. They were aggressively contentious with the believers who wanted to live God's love and with God's love and grace upon their lives. And the Jews, these Jews still remaining under the law, they judged all the other believers according to how those believers kept or didn't keep those Old Testament laws. So here's Paul in verse 2. Paul warned, beware of the concision. Beware of these men that want to take you back. They are going to try with all their might to get you back under the law. Then in verse 3, Paul says, hey, we are the circumcision. Circumcision fulfilled in the Old Testament law. It fulfilled the Old Testament law, but it could not touch faith and grace through Christ. You know, and Paul says, hey, we're under grace. We are really the circumcision. In Colossians 2:10, Paul says, we believe in the circumcision made without hands. And that's what he's talking to. Hey, we are the circumcision, Colossians 2:11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Right. The Holy Spirit circumcised their hearts. Nothing has changed. It's the same truths today. In Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And that's why Paul said, worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, meaning don't invest too much in the worth of your fleshly works. Genuine works come from the heart. They come from the inner man through the spirit circumcision of your heart. And there is the Holy Spirit at work again. He continues, Paul continues to clarify his point. We'll pick it up in Philippians 3, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless, he says. So before the new birth, he was all in. He was all in for the destruction of the faith. Paul said it himself in Galatians 1:13. For ye have heard of my conversation. You've heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So Paul's peers were holding him head and shoulders above themselves, and it was all to the credit of him ravaging the church like he did. Oh, he was staunch, very staunch. We mentioned in previous teachings how Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he and the other apostles were behind closed doors praying for fear of the Jews. And then 40 days later, he's heralding the word of God to all that were in Jerusalem. That's a dramatic change. And he didn't ever wane. He remained firm. So, you know, the thing to see here too is Peter was Peter and Paul was Paul. And we are all different. We all have different lives. So this is not to compare Peter's testimony with Paul, but it is another testimony in the Word that we can look at. But in Acts 22:4, Paul admits that he persecuted Christians unto their death, and that he bound both men and women and delivered them into prisons. In fact, following his conversion, the gift of Holy Spirit led him slowly and precisely, very slowly, like years, as he began to enter in among the believers. And, you know, we can get antsy if we have to wait a day once we know we are supposed to do something. Galatians 1:23 tells us the believers at that time had only heard of the madman who persecuted them in times past. And this man they had only heard of was somewhere now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. You know, Paul had some of their brothers and sisters in Christ tortured and killed. Who would want to see this man? Hearing about him would be plenty for me. So the Holy Spirit led him very cautiously so that his entering in and his association and his leadership among the believers would be palatable, that it would be well received, that, you know, you're talking about forgiving the man that you've never even seen but heard of. There are so many things, when you think about it, that they had to overcome. So the Holy Spirit was a big work in his life. And before Paul's new birth, he was happy with his life. He was a big shot, a highly successful Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a stickler for keeping the law and well regarded for the way that he lived his life. But back to Philippians 3, verse 7. Now we see Paul's heart is singing a new tune. He says, "But what things were gained to me?" And he's speaking of the legalistic works of his flesh. "Those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." See, all those things that he had been, he suffered that loss of being this great go-to guy. But he didn't care. They're dung to him now, because he won Christ. In verse 9, "And be found in him, be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, here's something we should know. Do we simply memorize these verses about what Christ did? No. And if we do, we should give time and effort to the Word of God and prayer that God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will change our hearts and give us the proper understanding. In Philippians 3:11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul doesn't understand everything. He doesn't know everything. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, Paul could not do one thing about his life prior to getting born again. There's no way to go back and unkill people. But he received God's forgiveness. He received his transformation in his heart. And he's now reaching forth to the work that God has set before him. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Now, how do you think God will reveal even this to you? Well, what changed Peter? What changed Paul? And more to our work at hand today, what changes us? Yes, the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, not the letter of the law. Our searching for actionable tips on living a life pleasing to God, you know, you have to evaluate very carefully because they can really miss the mark. Because when we feed and nourish our minds, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us. We will be led of the Holy Spirit into an actionable plan. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So we will have an actionable plan that will spring forth from our hearts on every occasion. It will do what is holy. It will perform what is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And you know, your heart will be led of the Holy Spirit in an actionable plan for loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, really, there's so much talk these days about stress. Well, with the Holy Spirit, we should have zero stress. That is available. That is available. Period. Exclamation mark. Because one of the workings of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is our helper. It is our comforter. You know, It is always, the Holy Spirit is always with us to comfort, to help, to guide, to lead us. We all use lists for goals, things we need to accomplish as reminders. But you know, to have a checklist for loving God and for loving others, checklists and planners along those lines are actually very boring and very unfruitful. You know, people get they get the hype of making a list. They get the hype of putting it on their calendar. And then it's very boring to carry out every day because every day you look ahead and you see what you've got to do. But you know, the Holy Spirit is inspirational. It will lead you to very exciting days ahead. The Holy Spirit, it keeps things fresh. Larry and I have found time and again that just about the time we think we begin to recognize how the Holy Spirit leads us, you know, it changes. Now, logically, we've reasoned that if it was the same way every time, we know the devil would try and trick us into thinking his message was from God. There is no autopilot. We're not Teslas. We always are in the driver's seat. We listen, we hear, we evaluate, we learn, and we make a choice for all that we need to do. Last week, we closed with the latter half of chapter 12 of Romans as to the qualities of what we're calling today, the circumcised heart. And in closing this week, I want to look at the first few verses in Romans chapter 12. You know, we submit ourselves to the perfection that is in the Word instead of trying to seek perfection in the flesh. There is no fleshly perfection, guys. We feed ourselves a healthy spiritual diet, and then we trust God that the gift of Holy Spirit that He created inside us will produce fruit as intended, according to the good pleasure of His will. It says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's by the mercies of God. And that word by, interesting, it denotes a channel of an act. The mercies of God is the channel allowing us to present ourselves. 2 Colossians 1:3 tells us that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. So it is, I beseech you, brethren, through this act, this channel of action, by the mercies of God, that you present. And present means to come beside. Now that's our free will. We present ourselves. That you present yourselves. To come beside, alongside, nigh unto. It is motion on our part. We come alongside the Father of mercies and stay put. We stand firmly planted. It goes on that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, reasonable is a word to carefully note. And this is really wonderful. I know that we talk about it being a logical service, knowing it all, duh, what else would you do? But not only is it logical, but it is based on spiritual intelligence. It is rational according to the Word of God. And it's, to compare it, it's not a ritualistic compulsion. You know, some senses, habit we have going on in our flesh. The presentation of ourselves to God is to be in accordance with the new creature that we are in Christ. And that's always very active, very fresh. We don't necessarily do the same thing day in and day out to worship God, to give Him place and entree to our lives. These bodies cannot please God without the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not that driving force to worship. Oh God, I've got to get up at this time and I've got to do this at this time. And oh no, I missed that. I'm not very good today. You know, it's not that. You'll just end up right where the adversary wants you, in condemnation and feeling like you are not a son of God. So it's not that driving force to worship, but rather it's just the only choice your heart could possibly entertain. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Looking at the word conformed is very interesting. It cannot be used. It is a word that is not used of an inward transformation, because this word for conform merely refers to an outline or a form, something drawn. So we aren't to unthinkingly fall into the ways of the world. We don't use their outlines and their patterns for living our lives. The world just simply refers to all the characteristics of this age, a darkness, evil, foolishness, the way the enemy pushes things to snuff out the image of God in our lives, where he systematically is bringing the work of every devil spirit out in the open. There is no closet. All the doors have been removed, it seems. Overindulgence, lust, and all the insane ideas that are so contrary to even nature. Things we so are so prevalent in our workplaces, schools, universities, everywhere. See why it is so healing to return to a home every evening that is your spiritual haven, where you can refuel, rest, be invigorated for the next day. Right. We are to be transformed. And this word means to change into another form. It is not an outline. It is not a pattern. It is to be transfigured inwardly to outwardly reproduce the same image as Christ. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? His appearance was changed. He was transformed, transfigured. He was resplendent with a divine brightness. I am trusting by now that you realize the Holy Spirit doesn't do everything while we do nothing. That is not what we're teaching. But in the weeks ahead, we will be looking at our godly behaviors and the importance of carefully choosing our manner of life. But the thing is, we have to focus on what the word behavior means, and we'll get into that in the weeks to come. But it is the Holy Spirit that renovates, renews, rebuilds, brings a complete change of heart, of life for the better. Yes, it is your mind. You choose to love God. You choose to seek and know his word and will. You choose to glorify him and praise him, thank him, pray. But it's the Holy Spirit that uses those things that we do to have the liberty, if you will, to work within us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. We'll never rehabilitate the flesh by discipline. It requires a power far greater than any person's discipline over the flesh. Well, definitely more in the weeks to come. God bless your hearts and our love to each of you.